I want to touch briefly on contemporary research that's being done, and then I'll open it up for questions. I could talk about this for days, so really I'm just scratching the surface here. If this is something you're interested in exploring more fully, certainly pick up the cymatics book, or a contemporary researcher, a German researcher named Lauterwasser, Alexander Lauterwasser. His name, if you were to be literally translating it, would mean loud water. And I think that's really funny. It's like Emoto working with emotions, Lauterwasser working with animating water with sound. I want to know who's writing this script. But Lauterwasser is working now in Germany. I published his book in English back a few years ago under the title of Water Sound Images. And I just heard Don Campbell speak to the class yesterday. He actually wrote the blurb for the book. He wanted to say, this is the book of the decade. But I told him, Don, you know, I think the Dan Brown's book, I can't even remember the name of it right now, but that his hot mystery book, I can't even think of it. I think it's got it beat. So maybe we should say this is the
you mean the
sound
Da Vinci
book.
The
yeah, the Da Vinci Code. How could I forget that? Yeah. Yeah. I think the Da Vinci Code's got it beat. Maybe we could say this is the sound book of the decade. And
wonderful.
He acquiesced, and that's what we put on the front cover. So it's called Water Sound Images, The Creative Music of the Universe. And this actually, he was able to take Yenny's work into the 21st century, where Yenny was working with tube amplifiers and these big bulky frequency generators and, you know, alligator clips and, you know, beautiful technology for its day. You know, Lauterwasser's working 60 years later, well, at least 50 years later, and he's able to use much more higher-tech solid-state equipment and much better camera lenses and actually using video cameras instead of film, so you can do a lot more things with it. You can observe a lot more precisely and create a lot more precise phenomena. What Lauterwasser did, his major contribution was to create visual analogs of forms found in nature. So he's created these very precise figures out of vibrating sand on a steel plate that look exactly like the structure of a tortoise shell, or zebra stripes, or leopard spots, or even some of the skeletal forms of brachiopods and other sea anemones, and just gorgeous, gorgeous structures of patterns that are implicit through nature, that are universal throughout nature. So Lauterwasser's work, Water Sound Images, highly recommended. And also a producer in Philadelphia in the States created a 5-minute mini documentary in the Hidden World series on cymatics on Lauterwasser's work. So you can actually see how he did what he did and look at the man himself, who's very excited. He's just really turned on by this stuff. So you can see that the work still continues in England. John Reed is working, developing a very high-caliber cymoscope, he calls his instrument, an electroacoustic cymatic instrument. And there is a Dutch man who's published a book. His name is Boerman, B-O-E-R-M-A-N, Robert Boerman, who has recently published a book, also Water Sound Images. It's in Dutch, though, not available in English yet. And there are other researchers as well.
Jeff, that's good because many of our people on this call right now are from Holland and they speak Dutch.
Oh, that's great. Perfect. Well, Robert Boerman, B-O-E-R-M-A-N, you can find him on the web. Tell him you heard about it through Jeff Folk. He'll be delighted because we've corresponded a few times. I'll just mention also that Lauterwasser's book is available in English in Europe through Floris, F-L-O-R-I-S, Floris Books. And so is the cymatics book, actually, Hans Jenny's original 2 volumes. I published it as a single volume, so it's a big hardcover book. Both of those books are distributed throughout Europe. And if you have access to Caduceus magazine, the Caduceus is the symbol of the medical symbol of Hermes. A few years back, they published a feature article that I wrote on cymatics. And then a couple of issues later, it comes out, I believe, quarterly. Maybe it's bi-monthly. A couple of issues later, they had a feature on, John Reed wrote a feature on cymatics. So they've had a couple of very good articles, and they regularly have some kind of a feature on sound healing. So that's Caduceus magazine out of the UK. So I guess maybe, Tina, what I'll do right now is just read a brief poem to sort of transition out of this And again, this is really just scratching the surface. There is so much more I could talk about, including the medical application of cymatics. There are cymatics devices. There are, again, they work on the principles of resonance that work directly with the tissue in the body. Not so much vibroacoustic, but much more subtle effect of sympathetic resonance. So I think that's what I'd like to do. We've got just a little bit over 10 minutes left. So I'll just read this poem, The Firmament of Sound, and then open it up for question and further discussion from you online.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Firmament of Sound. Before there were eyes to see, when a vast darkness still permeated the void, all rested beneath a firmament of sound. I stare into the primal pool, breath ripples the water, and light appears, as if from within. A raiment of pastel profusion, barely the faintest hint of definition. I open myself, and eyes appear, as if from within, so that I might see myself apart from the landscape, a part of the landscape. My original face peering out of the darkness, peering in to the void. Without fear, without pain, no sharp edges, no hard places, no borders. Nothing to recoil from, no need for protection, no need for rejection. No separation. I raise my voice and behold, I create my own personal playground, a universe of figure, form, and motion arising from my impetuous imagination. Firmament of Sound.
Amazing, Jeff. Amazing.
Well, thank you.
You know, Jeff, it's interesting to try to grasp this very, very macro concept of the universe and how all of these vibrations and all of this physics go from the largest of what we can imagine down to the most minute within the body. For me, when I think about cymatics and I think about the power of the sound vibrations, it's so important when we work with our music to not think of it just in terms of notes and music, but to think of it in terms of vibration when we're working with people, and why it is so important to understand the concept of this resonant tone that we teach. Because when you are able to find that tone that resonates with a person, that one key tone, and of course there are places throughout the whole body. There are tones throughout the whole body that when we study resonant kinesiology, we understand that there will be a tone that will sympathize with the liver or the bones or the nervous system. But each one of us has this tone that is the embodiment of our own vibration. And over all the years that I've been working, to be able to see how this plays out when you actually match that with another person, and then even take it further, when you're working with a person with their resonant tone, and then you have a beeping machine in the room, or like you said, the refrigerator or the fan making a hum, how can we take those resonances of the person and what's happening in the room and combine it into a key of music where there is harmony and matching it so that we're not adding to the chaos of sound, but bringing it all together. And when it comes together in harmony, it amplifies. We've seen how sympathetic vibrations, when they're matching, they can amplify. And as you look at the whole gamut in physics of vibrational energies through sound and beyond that, through aromas and tastes and all of the senses, that there is a relative position of all of these that harmonize. And at San Diego Hospice, when we find that with the patient and the dietitian finds what the people want to eat and the aromatherapist finds the aroma that works sympathetically with the person, we find that in this whole chart of what they've been able to determine with vibrational frequencies, that they line up. And as they line up, they go further upward to what we call spirit energy. And people, when they're in harmony, then can open up to the spirit energy without having the chaos in their life. And to
right,
me,
you're actually tuning the cacophony, yeah.
And to me, the cymatics is understanding it and being able to verbalize it to the people that you're working with. And there's a fine line. You can't go too deep, but at the same time, the administration, the doctors, and the nurses, if they can understand that what musicians are doing with patients is far beyond just playing a little entertaining music, but we're working in a whole field that is very profound.
Being able to show them a little clip of cymatics does wonders. I've done this many times in presentations, and usually the medical doctors come for the lunch, and they take off, and the nurses stick around. But even if the doctors just see a couple of seconds of this, they get it. I mean, I got it in just seeing a 30-second clip. You just get it that the quality of the vibration determines what shows up in the world. And as you were just saying, it's not just, you know, a liver or a bone that you're resonating. You're resonating through music, especially the emotional body. You're resonating the astral body. You're resonating all sorts of different memories. You're resonating things that are much more subtle. And you have the ability to stimulate and tonify in ways that the artist themselves doesn't even have a clue.
True. It's amazing. So, Jeff, let's take some comments and questions from people. We have quite a few people on the line here. I know my friend Margaret Forrest from Holland, she always has interesting questions to ask of the presenter. So,
you know, I'll just make another physics comment. You talked about notes and frequencies and tones and stuff. When you hit that resonant frequency, it actually releases energy. And not only stored energy from muscular trauma and stuff like that, but just in physics, when things come into sympathetic resonance, there's an amplification that happens there because two bodies are now locked together, and there's just more energy available. So that's a beautiful metaphor for what happens when you actually can come into resonance. Again, with the screaming teenager, for instance, you know, energy is released, and that kid doesn't have to hold on to it. With a person who's in pain, that pain can be transferred into some sort of creative expression, or it can just be released in a moment of just letting go. So there's just amazing physics principles that actually operate outside of the realms of physics.
That's amazing, and that's what we see so much when we're working with the patients and our clients, is that as soon as we get that resonant tone, you see this big release happen.
Mm-hmm.
And even with people who are what you would say unresponsive, you actually can see that happening in their body. And that's why we work on this very subtle energy to be able to pick up those nuances. Jeff, Margaret does have a question for us, so I'm going to open the mic to Margaret. How are you, Margaret?
I'm fine, Christina. Thank you very much. Hello, Jeff.
Hi.
You mentioned in your video, I have two questions, actually. And just to go on, one thing that really was very poignant to me to be able to differentiate between sounds that irritate me and sounds that do not. One of your wonderful comments I saw in the video was, noise is a value judgment of an energetic event. I found that very interesting, having three children also in the home. This is a very, very good point. I can use this in many, many ways. So thank you for that.
Margaret, that is John Beaulieu. That was a 90-minute interview I did with John Beaulieu, condensed it down to 6 minutes of the pithiest statements like that. And
yes.
When I was doing the edit, it was impossible to get through that section. Your mind would just sink its teeth into something, and you could not do it until we put a psychoacoustic sound bed behind it, music. And then all of a sudden, that whole segment flowed together like water. And all those little statements just go right in without any resistance whatsoever. So that's a perfect example of how music can work to soften one's resistance to something that might be a little bit unpalatable.
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was wonderful words. My two questions are, you've mentioned a couple of times, and also in your video, you say the quality of the vibration determines what shows up. Do you mean the frequency of the vibration? I'm not quite sure what you mean by the quality.
Well, actually, it a lot of things determine. In cymatics, there are two major elements that determine what is going to happen in a pattern, what kind of a pattern will form. And this is assuming that all the other factors stay the same, the temperature, the barometric pressure, that there's no wind blowing, and the steel plate is the same, and the indicator substance, the powder or water or whatever, is the same. The major two things that will determine what happens are the amplitude and the frequency. And again, this goes back to that basic triadic phenomena. The amplitude determines a large part of the macro structure, and the frequency determines the intricacy of the pattern. So if you have a very loud amplitude, you're going to blow the stuff right off a plate. But if you have a very fine frequency and keep the amplitude the same, as the frequency ascends, you will be going through the scale of that steel plate. Lauterwasser demonstrates this very beautifully in water sound images. He actually goes through the entire audible frequency from 10 to probably about 20,000 hertz and shows the modal points, of each time you get a coherent figure, it's called a mode. And it is, in fact, the scale of that plate. You get the harmonic series. It's logarithmic, the interval between modes or coherent forms. So let me explain that a little bit. You start out at 0 hertz, and maybe between 0 and 196, you have nothing but a bunch of sand dancing around the plate. As soon as you hit 196, boom, you get an image. You get a coherent standing wave image. That is the first mode. That's M-O-D-E, on that plate. Now, the second mode, you just have chaos again until you get up to 400 and something. And then, boom, you get another coherent form, a standing wave pattern. That's the second mode. As you keep going, the intervals get closer and closer together, just like they would on the overtone series, the series of overtones. It's a harmonic logarithmic ratio. And the beauty of this is the way it relates to our own lives, that you notice that there are periods of tremendous turbulence in our lives, and then all of a sudden things fall into place for us. And the damn thing is they don't last very long, but it's a great feeling when it happens. And then you go into chaos again, and boom, finally something comes into coherency again. And, of course, the mind wants to create snapshots of things, and so it wants the snapshot of that last coherent period to last forever. And also, when you're in the chaos, it takes a snapshot of that, and it assumes that you're going to be in chaos forever because that's where you are. So it's really helpful, especially when you're dealing with a person in a heightened situation, like someone who's ill or emotionally upset or distraught in some way, to be able to convey to them that they're in a period of chaos and transition, but if they can ride the frequency that is ascending, the increased impulse of energy that's implicitly ascending, that's just part of the way that evolution works, they will come to another stasis point that has greater coherency, interconnection, and potential, more creative potential. That's just what will happen if you can ride it through. And then, of course, you're going to want to sink your teeth into that and stay there, and you won't be able to because the frequency will continue to ascend, and you're going to have to keep moving to go with it.
That's amazing. That is one of the most profound thought patterns I have been introduced to in this whole gamut of living. There are periods of times when we just go through chaos, and we know when it is, and it's sort of like, what is happening to my world? And the way you just absolutely put that into words is amazing. It's been very healing for me at this moment.
Well, let me just say one other thing, Tina, because this is really important. In my longer presentations, I have an entire PowerPoint on this, the whole thing between randomness and chaos. And I don't know about in Europe, but in the U.S., the word random is the hip word now. And I think it indicates kids' lack of sense of meaning and coherency in the world. Randomness implies a haphazardness or something occurring without definite aim, purpose, or reason. That's directly out of the dictionary. Haphazardness, something occurring without definite aim, purpose, or reason. Chaos suggests utter confusion or disorder, wholly without organization or order. You know, so it's almost exactly the same at that level. But there is a second definition for chaos, and this goes back to the Greek, chaos and cosmos. The infinity of space or formless matter supposed to have preceded the existence of the ordered universe. So there you have the implicate order, something that is implicit in chaos, that is just waiting to find a resonant frequency so that it can be brought into form. And that is what we're doing in a therapeutic interaction. We're providing through our very presence, not our music, through our presence, we're providing a coherent field through which this dynamic flux can find a place of rest and therefore come into balance.
Amazing. Amazing, Jeff. Definitely, we have, you've been to our conferences before, and this, I believe, is that PowerPoint that you're talking about is definitely a presentation that we need to have at our next conference. If you are in the Netherlands this summer, we will be having our European class in August. Let me know if you're there. Maybe we can talk about having you present. Your presentation today has been spectacular. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad it came across just in audio only. And again, you know, with the visuals, it's a whole different animal. You just get it implicitly.
But I think we got something else a little bit different today just by listening with our ears. So there's a beauty in that too. And it's absolutely fascinating, and I will have the information for all the people to go to your website and make sure that they enrich their libraries with your materials. And I hate to let you go right now. I know you have another commitment, and we have Ani Williams waiting here to come on. And I just want to thank you so much, Jeff, for taking time to be with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's not often I get to visit Europe and then go have lunch.
That's great. Okay. Thanks, Jeff.